but let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs again, chapter 2 and verse 1 is where we'll start. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Now, Father, we thank you again for the Word of God. I pray you bless the preaching of it and teaching, and Lord, help us to just see some simple, straightforward truths and understand the truth of your Word in such a way that it make a difference in our hearts and our lives. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, this is an amazing thing when you look at this, and we're going to look at the first part of that verse here. But you notice something it says here. If you go back down to verse 12, it says, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and to delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. And then in verse 16 it says, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead. None that go out unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. There are two things that are there that particularly in the case of men are the downfall. It's their buddies and women. And it's kind of an amazing truth there. He's talking to a son. Now we'll look at the spiritual side of this, but when you look at a man, when you look at a thing, it's generally the people, the friends he makes, the buddies that he has and everything like that. They tend to drag him down. If they're not the right type person, they tend to drag him down. And it takes a man to be able to stand up and walk away from them. And then there's a woman. And when you have a strange woman, when you have a woman that is set to do evil, That's a huge temptation. And many a man has fallen from those two things. Because their desire to be accepted by other men and be looked up to and have to be had in reputation in some way, and so they compromise so they can get what they think, but they do, but they really don't get it because they're not looked upon well. And then to have the pleasures of the flesh, if you will, and that thing, and with a woman and all that promise, and even the desire of love and everything like that. And you know, it's an amazing thing how many people, have you ever noticed how many people have been married multiple times? I know of this one woman who's advising another woman, and this one woman has been married like 3 or 4 times. Now, if I were somebody that were looking for somebody to help me with my marriage, that's the last person I'd look to. But that's what happens. And so often people that commit adultery end up marrying adulterers, and it just seems that way sometimes. And that's not all the time. There are some times where there's adultery, and then somebody finds somebody that's good, and but many a person who's desired to do right has been hurt by an adulterous woman, or a fornicating woman, or whatever the case may be. And of course, there's whoremongers among the men too. I understand all that, but there's that enticement. Those two things seem to be the big thing that get men. Now we'll look at that a little bit more spiritually in a second, but we start out in chapter 2, verse 1, and once again, we got to understand this is God speaking, not just Solomon. And he says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee." Now, we have a tendency to hide in a place where we know they are and that they're kept safe the things that are valuable. For example, we have a safety deposit box where we have certain things that are in it. And we have them there because that's supposed to be very secure. And we know where they're at. And there are things in our house that are not out in plain sight. They're hidden away because of their value. And they're brought out when they're needed and those things like that. So we do that with things, don't we? Why would we not do that with God's word and God's commandments? And of course, Psalm 119 says what? "Thy word have I hidden my heart that I might not sin against thee." So where are we to hide them? We're to hide them in our hearts. We're to keep our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. But he says, first of all, if thou wilt receive. If thou wilt receive. There has to be a willingness to receive God's word as a valuable thing, and then treasure it and put it somewhere. Commit it to memory, to where you always have it. And he said, "If thou hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding." Do this in such a way that you want to know it, not just have it so you can quote it, but that you can understand it. We're going to get to another passage in the, as we go through this, and there is a passage that says, if I'm trying to remember where it is, that that wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, with all thy getting, get understanding. And I'm trying to remember where that passage is, but I think it is, it's either in chapter 8 or chapter 9, I think. But I may be wrong on that. But the simple fact is that there's a need for wisdom. There's a need for understanding, and there's a desire. And he says, "Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures." Notice that understanding of God's word and wisdom from God's word and the commandments of God and all these things are things to be valued. Job said he esteemed the words of God's mouth more than his necessary food. Alright? So wisdom and understanding and knowledge, these are things to be desired. They're treasures. They're things that we ought to have. We ought to cry after them. Now who are you going to cry to? You're going to cry to the Lord, right? When you study the Bible on prayer, if we look at that, you find that there is a requirement in biblical prayer to actually seek an understanding. All right? If we take the model prayer that everybody likes to just quote, "Our Father which art in heaven, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread," right? And so forth and so forth. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." There's a request there, isn't it? To not be led into temptation, but to be delivered from evil. That requires wisdom and knowledge. That's what you're seeking in that regard. You're seeking God's leadership, but you want Him to lead you in the paths of righteousness. And He says, if you do this, if you make it your point to seek after this, He said in verse 5, "Then shalt thou understand the fear of God, of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Now, to the second part of that, I would simply say this. I would say that what you need to understand is He is the source of wisdom and knowledge. Alright, so you have to see Him as the source. But knowing where the source is does you no good if you don't want to obtain it. A lot of people don't really want to obtain. And be honest with you, I don't understand that. I really don't understand that. I don't understand the attitude that comes to church and just wants to forget what we heard. I don't understand that attitude. It doesn't seem to track with me. It's contrary to everything I've learned as a Christian. And I can remember, and I understand that God was dealing with my heart and trying to prepare me to be a pastor and all that type of stuff. But as a young Christian, I would sit there and I would hear the Bible, the preaching, and I would sit and go and think on it, meditate on it, and go back and read and try to understand. If I had a question, I'd look for an answer and I'd try to find the answer. And sometimes I'd go to the pastor and say, "Hey, I don't know what you meant by this. Could you explain it to me?" And I was looking for it. I was seeking after it. I was praying and asking God to help me understand. You know, from the first time that I started going to church, you know, I started hearing things and I wanted to figure things out. And it served me well. But that's what he's talking about. We got to get to the point where we want to know. You know? What was it? What was it? They had some old gossip thing that they called. I forget what it was called, but I remember their tagline was "Inquiring minds want to know." In other words, they want to know all the dirt on everybody. Was it the National Enquirer or something like that? One of them.
Yeah, the National Enquirer.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah, that was it.
And all they did was print dirt on people. They didn't ever print anything good. They just spent their time. It was all about gossip. But gossiping about this person. Did they do that? Did they do that? Did they do this? And you know, they put stuff up. Wasn't that one of the ones that they, you know, they sit there and say they found something out about aliens or something
like that.
You know, all kind of crazy stuff. Somebody turned into a dogfish or whatever. Who knows what they would say? There's all kind of crazy things. But you'd think God's people would have inquiring minds and want to know the truth. Especially when Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I don't know about you, I'd like to be free. I'd like to know where my freedom, my liberty is. I'd like to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made me free. But notice there's a thing about, he says, "Receive my words, hide my commandments with thee, incline thine ear unto wisdom, apply thine heart unto knowledge, cry after knowledge, lift up your voice for understanding, seek her as silver, searchest for her as hid treasures." In other words, all of those things are things that are done by somebody who wants to find. And we were told by the Lord, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you," right? "Seek, and you shall find." Right? Ask, seek, and knock. There it is. So why do we not have... When's the last time you really had the burden to understand something? Is it just the pastor that is supposed to understand the fear of the Lord? Is it just the pastor that's supposed to understand righteousness and judgment and equity and every good path? Is it just me? Is it just the preacher? Is he the only one to understand these things? No. It's written to my son, the child of God. "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." So God gives wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding, and he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. That means it's there waiting on you. It's yours. It's waiting for you. It's been laid up for you. And for me. God lays it up for his children. It's available. And the problem is we don't seek for it. We don't ask for it. We don't cry after it. It does not become a burden for us to understand. It's kind of funny, and I understand now looking back why God burdened me in the way he did and the things that he was doing and how he was protecting me. But you know, when I got into this thing, I have to share my testimony, I was reading the Bible so I could know what it said, So that if somebody said something wrong, I could make them look like a fool and shut them up, and then they would quit trying to witness to me, because I'd embarrass them, make them look stupid. And as I went on in reading, and I began to see, and God began to deal with my heart, and I saw the truth of His Word, and after I got saved, I mean, I just had an appetite for the Bible. I was reading constant. I wanted to read it from cover to cover. And I wanted to know everything. And I wanted to understand everything. And I wanted to do that. And right after I got saved, we got in the shipyard and everything. We were in the shipyard, and we had shipyard workers coming in there. And the first thing I did was have a Mormon come in there. And he was trying to tell me all these things and trying to, I had to sit there and work with him. And he found out I was a young Christian. He was on me, boy, like a duck on a June bug. He was there, and he was constantly in my ear and constantly trying to tell me things. And during this whole time, I'm sitting there reading the Bible, and I keep reading things that are contradicting him. And I'd say, wait a minute, I read in the Bible it said this, and he couldn't answer the answer. Or he'd try to answer, and he'd just try to be twisting and butchering it up, and I'd be like, that's not what it says. Look at what it says. And I'd read it to him and everything. And God protected me that way. And I'm happy about that. And that's one of the sweetest memories I have. But during that time, when I was seeking, I sure enough was finding. When I was calling out to Him and crying out, and you know what I found out? Every time I set my heart to seek, I find. Every time I set my heart to store it away, everything, or learn something new, or whatever the case may be, I do that. And what I've stored away, it helps me understand what's to come. And I find out there's still more laid up for me. I've not exhausted it yet. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Now, people that understand the fear of the Lord, people that understand the right paths and all those things, people that walk that way, it's those are the people that know the protection of God. A buckler is a type of shield. It's a means of protection. And he is a buckler. And he said that he said he keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. So this is tell us how he's a buckler. This is tell us how he performs that function. He keepeth the paths of his saints and preserveth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. So he's there. And then he says, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When we talk about making decisions and making right decisions, so many people make wrong decisions because they don't understand God's will about something. They don't understand God's will, and so they make decisions based upon how they feel, based upon what somebody else says, based upon what mama said, daddy said. Go down the list. And people that are born in a Christian home, at some point they have to be able to get past this is what mom and daddy say and get to say this is what God says. You know, it does not matter how many times you tell a child this is what God says. Now that child may believe it, but at some point it's going to have to become no longer mama and daddy being an intermediary between me and God, but me and God. That's the way it's supposed to be. And too often that's not. Too often people fail to find the right path because they've kind of put themselves out of God's protection. You know, we walk in our own way. We eat the fruit of our doings. In verse 10 it says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Knowledge of God's word, knowledge of the Lord, knowledge of his will, knowledge of his ways, is supposed to be pleasant to us. Some people, a lot of people, they have this attitude, it's hard. But we're told in the book of 1 John, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. It's not hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. God's commandments aren't grievous. They're only grievous to the person whose heart doesn't want to know them. And that's really the case. We get hardened hearts. You know, God doing God's will is only as hard as your heart. And that's the truth of the matter. And there's the thing. And knowledge should be pleasant. To understand God's word, that should be pleasant. It's a thing. Now, brother, I'm going to tell on you now, and you told me that you have some milk and some strawberry ice cream. Mm-hmm. Now, did you get the strawberry ice cream because you don't like it or you find it pleasant?
It is pleasant.
It is pleasant. Amen to that. I'm guilty. I've got some natural vanilla bean and some butter pecan sitting in the freezer at home. It's pleasant. It's good. I like it. And these are things that, and those are pleasant to the taste. We're talking about things that are pleasant to the heart and pleasant to the soul. And they should be pleasant. They should be something that is gives the greatest pleasure. Knowledge of God's word, knowledge of the Lord. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. You'll have discretion. You'll be able to understand things and be able to see and you'll have understanding that will keep thee. They'll preserve you. They'll keep you. What will they keep you from? Well, deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. Now, when you look at this passage of Scripture, we see this picture of the person that's evil, and we think of an evil man. But you could also talk about evil religion. False doctrine. Churches that are going out and they do stuff. You know, I could spend a lot of time talking about a lot of different things that the Bible talks about. But how many things that the Bible talk about that most churches are just saying, well, we don't want to even talk about that. We don't care anything about that. You know, if you were to talk about what the Bible says about dress, people don't want to hear that, do they? No, they want to hear a lie that makes them feel good. God doesn't care about that. Well, then why, if he didn't care about it, why did he put it in a book? If he didn't care about long hair on men and short hair on women, why did he put it in the book? What was the purpose of it? Was that something just to be discarded when we became enlightened? Is it any wonder that as churches began to copy the music of the world more and more, they followed in copying the doctrines of the world? I mean, I could go on for a long way. You look at the things that are happening and the ideas and the things that happen. You know, you've heard me say it a lot of times, and during the great times and the dealing with the fundamentalists and the modernists, you know, they are one of the things early on they dealt with was, well, how are we supposed to be witnesses? You know, and they want an either or approach. Well, you got to be a good person and live a good life, or no, but you've got to tell people and everything like that. And the truth is, both are right, and both are to be applied. You can, if everybody knows you're a sorry person, you don't live right. Then they're not going to pay much attention to what you have to say, are they? You know, it's easy. That's why it's easier to witness to strangers than people who know you, because they see your failings. But the reality is, and the truth of the matter is that a lot of those people who had this idea of lifestyle evangelism, they started changing what it meant to live a good life. Now they don't witness at all to anybody. If all you do from your pulpit is teach about how you're supposed to live a good life and you don't tell anybody how to be saved, is anybody going to get saved? No, you have a bunch of self-righteous people, right? And the bar just keeps getting lower with successive generations as to what's right when they decide they want to throw something out. And so you got preachers out there with hair down to their behind, and you got people out there and they do have all kind of different things that they do, and they want to look like the world, and they want to look cool, and they want to look trendy and fashionable and this and that and everything down the line. They want to look successful, wealthy. And be honest with you, some of that started back with in a lot of the fundamental circles, because there got to be a emphasis on dress in the sense of formal dress rather than godly dress. Did you know you can be dressed informally and still be dressed godly? Did you know that you can also be dressed informally and be copying the world? I mean, we could talk about all kinds of different things. There's all types of different things where people follow false prophets and false doctrines and false preachers and things like that to things. And they abandon large parts of the Bible, and eventually they end up abandoning it all. And then, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, her path unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. There's the problem. You know, it's kind of an amazing thing when we look at that. the the picture there of flattering words, flattereth with her words. I'm just kind of interested because I just had a thought. But if you go passage I was looking for. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5, Paul's talking about his entrance to them when he came to them. And he said, neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Now that's a very important thing, because you know a lot of the health and wealth and prosperity teaching is based upon covetousness, isn't it? You know, you have to have monetary prosperity in this world to have faith. You know, you have to have things and all this type of stuff. That's the evidence of faith. There are people that suppose that gain is godliness. But Paul said, we didn't use flattering words. We came in and we told you the truth. A lot of times people don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear that they're sinners that need to repent and believe the gospel. That they deserve to go to hell. They don't want to hear that. They want to hear flattering words. They want to hear how much God loves them, but they don't want to hear the consequences for sin. They don't want to think about Jesus' death on the cross in terms of what he suffered for them. They don't want to think in terms of that they owe him anything. And yet, what does the Bible say? We're not our own. We're bought with a price. It was a great cost to secure our salvation. It's a gift to us. But the price that was paid was extreme. It was greater than anything. Let me ask you a question. This is something that the world doesn't want to think about. Jesus said, what should it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, if I just look at that logically, that's telling me that one soul is worth more than the whole world. Then how much did Jesus suffer? If one soul is worth more than that. Something to think about. We don't think in those terms. We just want to hear about the love of God and how he loves us, but there's a requirement for repentance there. And these people that do that, they follow that way. And you know, what was it that God said about Israel time and time again? How they went, what? A whoring after other gods. There's a spiritual side. Can you see? You can see the physical side. You can see a man being seduced by a woman's sensuality and by a wicked woman's sensuality and a man being called into sin. And we see it all the time, especially in our culture with all the fornication and adultery and everything that's going on. But can you not see the spiritual application as well? We're to study, show ourselves unapproved, approved unto God. workman that needs not be ashamed, right? Rightly dividing the word of truth. We are to not be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Would have grown up, and we're supposed to learn and grow. There's a lot of passages in that regard that talk about that. By the way, chapter 4 is where I was looking for earlier. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, with all thy getting get understanding. But in the final analysis, he says that discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even the stranger which flatters with her words. And then it says in verse 20, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of righteousness. What's the point? So that your walk here on this earth will be worthy of a Christian, will be something that is right. You'll be in the way of good men, the paths of righteousness. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. We always taught our kids Psalm 1. And notice what it said. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So why would you, he says, the upright man shall dwell in the land, the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. We know there's a judgment. We know that the lost are going to be condemned to hell for all eternity. And they're going to be separated from God, separated from righteousness. And they're going to be judged according to their works. And they're going to be, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So why would we want to listen to them about anything? Why would we listen to the lost over listening to the Word of God? Why would we listen to people who are doing things that are clearly going to cause judgment? And they're trying to tell us that it's okay. Why would you do that? Makes no sense. And so we need to be careful. But you know, the people that truly want to know the Word of God, they find it. They find it. They learn. And the more you want to know, the more God's got plenty for you. It's all laid up for you. It's there. You know, we're supposed to believe God, aren't we? When he says that something's there, we're supposed to pray believing. Everything we do, we're supposed to do believing. Believing what? Believing what God says. Believing the promises of God. And boy, we need to get back to the time where the Word of God is sweet, pleasant, desirable. Let's go, Lord, in prayer, and then we'll close the service. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all you've given. Thank you for your love and your mercy and your kindness. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to understand the truth, and I pray, Lord, that you would help us to desire your word above all things, to desire to know, to understand, to not be content with what we know now. Lord, not look for some new thing, but just look to understand your truth. And your word, and your will, and your way. Help us to learn to apply it. and use it correctly. We thank you. We pray you'd bless in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So instead of